This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. We're running a poll today on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio. We're asking you what has been Felda's biggest problem. We've had about 120 votes so far. You've still got about 1 hour odd to vote on the poll. Do let us know what you think in the comments as well. Now, taking a look at some local news this morning, a Construction Industry Development Board Malaysia Chief Executive, Dato' Ahmad Azri Abdul Hamid, has said that the government prioritised the construction industry as one of the key drivers of the nation's economic development. And so projects by the government will boost development of the construction industry as well as create spillover effects across other economic sectors.
That's right. According to the CIDB, the $1 billion, $1 to $5 matching guarantee for dedicated private equity funds to invest in Malaysia would encourage the participation of more Malaysian consortiums and therefore creating that multiplier effect that we all need.
I mean, this is all part of the fiscal spending, right, to kind of resuscitate the Malaysian economy. When we look ahead and we can see definitely there's going to be a global slowdown, especially from the trade perspective. So it's time to open that checkbook and sign a few checks. And I think construction sector definitely is one of the more obvious kind of winners in Budget 2020. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so for more insight into this, though, this morning we speak to Chong Chen Sun, Senior Vice President of Research at Alliance DBS. Thank you for joining us this morning. So what are your key takeaways from the construction sector from Budget 2020?
Okay, overall, we think the budget was mildly positive for the sector, but investors would likely want to see more evidence of the government's willingness to pump prime the economy via the revival of other shelf projects. We think this could be now pushed forward to the 12th Malaysia plan. But if you look at some of the highlights, there were some positives. The government is proceeding with Bandar Malaysia and the Pan Borneo project. They've given approval for the RTS project. There was also a Serenda Port Klang rail bypass and the Klang Logistics Corridor, which is a dedicated highway connecting Northport and Westport. And both projects are supposed to cost about $8.4 billion. While there was also some projects in East Malaysia, namely the Trans-Borneo Highway, spanning about 165 kilometres.
And there was, however, no mention of some of the key projects like the KL-Singapore high-speed rail, as well as the Klang Valley MRT. And this was a disappointment. Was this a disappointment for the sector? And will this mean that it will be harder for construction players to replenish their order books?
I think the market was not expecting anything from the high-speed rail, given that Malaysia has until May 2020 to make a decision on this. However, our view on the high-speed rail, and we've written quite an extensive report on this, is that we do expect it to be revived, as the success of Bandar Malaysia hinges a great deal on the revival of the high-speed rail. As we know, Bandar Malaysia is a large-scale development, 160 billion GDV spanning 486 acres, and it needs transport connectivity via the high-speed rail to ensure migration from other states within Malaysia as well as potentially other countries. And this is especially more crucial given the current massive overhang in the property market. As for MRT3, I think, yes, there was some disappointment that it was not included, but in our view, it will eventually be revived given it's a crucial line to bring ridership into the city from the other two MRT lines. And additionally, MRT2 is already 60% completed. So we do think that these two projects could fall under the 12th Malaysia plan as well. In terms of contractors taking steps to mitigate this, we do think that contractors have already adjusted to this new normal. As an example, Gamuda has already taken steps to move overseas and they've already bought a mid-sized contractor in Australia. So we do think that we'll see a bit more contractors trying to diversify their base out of Malaysia as well.
And since you mentioned Gamuda, it will receive cash consideration of more than $6 billion after the confirmed acquisition of their four highway concessions. So what is your call on the stock? And will minorities see a special dividend?
Right. Our call on the stock is a buy. Our target price is $4.65. And I think the guidance coming up from the company is that they will pay a meaningful amount in special dividends. So their effective stake out of the 6.4 is about $2.36 billion. And if you assume that they were to pay about half of it in special dividends, I think investors can look forward to a one-off yield of about 12%. I think more importantly, the additional monies from the sale of the tolls could be useful to ensure more portions of the Penang Transport Master Plan can be rolled out more simultaneously.
And Jensen, also looking at East Malaysia, with the Trans-Borneo Highway and a development budget of 5.2 billion ringgit for Sabah and 4.4 billion for Sarawak, are there any construction companies that you expect will see job wins there?
All right. I think both markets, Sabah and Sarawak, they're quite close markets and quite protected markets in their respective states. So a lot of the job wins will come from more localized contractors there. So in Sarawak, you have the likes of CMS, NIME, Zikon, Hock Seng Lee. So we do think that peninsula-based contractors will also potentially form joint ventures to get a slice of the pie there, for example, via the Pan-Borneo Sarawak project as well.
So looking at some of the recent announcements, what is your call on the sector and the topics?
We're still quite positive on the sector. Our top picks remain the larger cap contractors with stronger balance sheets, prudent cash flow management. I think this would be the likes of Gamuda, IJM and Suncon, where there's also very minimal execution risk. And I think the situation post GE14 has taken a toll on some of the smaller contractors. Having said that, our small cap pick is Kim Loon. We think it's a well-managed contractor. It has a niche in affordable housing jobs, while it also has a very niche manufacturing outfit.
Thank you very much, Jensen. And that was Chung Jensen, Senior Vice President of Research at Alliance DBS, favouring names like Gamuda, IGM, Suncon, as well as Kim Loon on the small cap side.
Yeah, the main thing is the execution risk, right? Because we're facing a new normal in the construction sector. I think in the past, you used to see a lot of order book replenishment, but that's kind of narrowing. And also margin compression across the board as the government moves towards an open tender system. Another challenge, recent one, of course, is the rise in the minimum wage, right? Because we raised it in urban areas from 1,100 to 1,200 ringgit. Although the feedback from the construction players is that they already pay actually their workers more than that, because you know, it's not cheap to find good construction labour anymore. And most of it is unfortunately still somewhat skewed towards foreign labour.
Yeah, I think the theme right now is for the Pakatan Harapan government is at least you can't simply spend one, okay? Because your debt is at 1 trillion bucks, and you know, the lessons from ECRL that the government has learned is that some of these projects you know, really hits at the government coffers. And especially when somebody like Professor Kwame Jomo is saying that you know, don't simply throw money at, for example, fuel subsidy. Like you have to think of whether you can put money into pockets of people rather than spending on these projects where the consumer and the person on the street does not see the benefits of it, right? And with this regard as well, I guess the finance minister is talking about trying to widen to think whether they can widen the SST.
Yes, and that is actually one of the other headlines coming out of the post-budget 2020 coverage, because Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng weighed in on the SST coverage, said that it could be widened if it doesn't raise the cost of living. Now, before the budget was tabled, several groups, including the World Bank, did advocate for the government to diversify as well as increase their revenue sources, including possibly widening the SST to rebuild some of those fiscal buffers.
I think this is a very great big missed opportunity. I think they have confirmed on the budget that the GST is not going to be reintroduced. But one message that was constantly given out is that, we have saved 20 billion ringgit to the budget, and therefore this is a savings to the rakyat. But actually, it's a wrong savings, because it's 20 billion bucks extra that the rich people could have paid under the GST system. And now that's gone. And now they are struggling to see whether they can widen that net further.
Yeah, because if we look at the details, right, in terms of tax as a contribution towards GDP, Malaysia ranks quite low. If I'm not wrong, it's around 13-14%. Whereas if you look at countries like Singapore and South Korea, it's much higher, close to 18%. So there is this shift to the necessity to widen the tax base and also just move away from the reliance on our petrol dividend, right? Because at the end of the day, this is a natural resource. It's not going to be infinite forever and ever. So we look at just SST revenue that was collected in budget 2019. It was 22 billion, and that was later revised to 26.8 billion ringgit due to better than expected collection. If we're looking at 2020, it's expected to go up to 28.3 billion ringgit. This is about 1.8% of GDP.
Yeah, so sales tax collection is due to increase about 5.4%, and this is particularly due to contributions from machine spare parts as well as sales of vehicles. The services tax, though, is estimated at 12 billion ringgit, particularly on higher demand from the food and beverage sector. This is also followed by telecommunications and insurance, but the government's revenue is nevertheless expected to drop 7.1% from 263 billion ringgit in 2019 to 244 billion for 2020. Right now, though, we are heading into the 8 o'clock news, and after that, we have the Breakfast Grill for you, where I'll be speaking with two gentlemen, Nathan Blake, Deputy Attorney General with the Iowa Department of Justice and a Democrat, as well as the Honourable Chris Jensen, Mayor-elect of the city of Noblesville in Indiana, a Republican, about the bipartisan battles over in the US. Stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.